Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. We're over the next couple of months, $160,000 up for grabs. Your shot at $1,000 four times a day starts today. The 4K a day on WTMA. All you got to do is listen, text, and win. How easy is that? You can get all the details at WTMA.com. We'll be giving you the word to text coming up during the 9 o'clock hour. Win yourself a little bit of money there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Hillary Clinton, boy, she's been everywhere. I mean, she's been on all the shows. She was on The View. She was on Anderson Cooper, Ford's 80 or whatever it is. And she's been talking a lot about the alternate nostril breathing. She demonstrated it last night with Anderson Cooper.
It seems like you've been doing a lot of yoga.
Yes, I have. Alternate nostril breathing.
Well, I wanted to ask you.
Have you tried that?
Page 27 in your book, you talk about alternate nostril breathing.
Yes.
What is that? And dare you give me a demonstration
of
that?
Well, I would highly recommend it. Okay. You know, I mean, you're supposed to shut your eyes. I don't want to shut my eyes on national television. But, you know, you do hold and you breathe through one and you hold it and then you exhale through the other and you keep going. I can only say, based on my personal experience, that if you're sitting cross-legged on the yoga mat and you're doing it and you're really trying to inhale and hold it and then have a long exhale, it is very relaxing. So I don't know if you can do it in the middle of hurricane coverage, but maybe some other moments you can try it. I found it quite helpful.
Yeah, that and Chardonnay, she found that. And so I don't know which is more relaxing, the alternate nostril breathing or the Chardonnay. That's what I want to know from Hillary. Did you ever think you would see a former candidate for presidency of the United States demonstrating alternate nostril breathing on national television? So you clog one, you know, you pinch off one nostril and you breathe in, and then you pinch off the other one and you breathe out. It may not work here good in South Carolina. We got a lot of allergies.
That's what I do when I have a cold.
That's right.
And you can't breathe in one of your nostrils.
That's right.
Try to blow out your sinuses that way.
Yeah. And then your wife says, "What did you just do?
Yep.
Did you just do what I think you did? No. No, honey. No. Alternate nostril breathing. It's just more that wacky new age type of stuff that she's gotten into, the long walks in the woods. And what do they call that? They call that earthing. Earthing.
Yeah.
That's a big thing now. Earthing. That's where you go and you walk in the woods. We always just called it going for a hike, wasn't it? Isn't that what it was?
But now it's a stroll.
Yeah, it's a thing now. Now it's some kind of a spiritual trek that you take out in the woods while you're walking around. So.
Hey, I tell you what, for somebody who supposedly does yoga,
yeah,
Hillary Clinton's a little roly-poly there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about yoga.
Isn't that a weight loss exercise?
It definitely helps. It's not easy. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you guys have ever tried yoga, but it's not an easy thing to do. It's pretty tough. Some of those poses you have to hold, downward dog, which is extremely flattering. The warrior pose, the windmill, and all that stuff. And I know this because my wife does yoga on occasion. She's not a fervent practitioner of it, but it does help, you know, with the back a little bit and your posture and things like that. But to do it, this whole spiritual insight thing with all of that, I think that's a bunch of hooey. And when I was in school and playing football, we called it stretching. So everybody get out there, we're going to stretch before practice.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock. If you are a member, shall we say, of the shagging community here in the Lowcountry, and you like to get out there and do your shag dancing, then you probably know the name Harriet Grady. She is one of the big, she's kind of the shagging lady here in the Lowcountry. Well, she was caught during Hurricane Irma. When it hit down in the Caribbean, she was actually on St. Martin. Now, I was pretty safe. I was on there in San Juan, Puerto Rico. But Harriet Grady was in St. Martin, and we all know how devastated St. Martin was during that storm. We're going to be talking with her around 9:35 this morning. She just got home last night. She was evacuated from St. Martin. And of course, we've seen all the amazing devastation that happened down there during the storm. She was evacuated over to Puerto Rico. And that was the weird thing while we were there. And Sheila and I were there in Puerto Rico. We were seeing people that were fleeing some of these other islands just to get out of harm's way because they were really, really getting hammered. St. Martin, Antigua, Barbuda, some of those places just absolutely destroyed by this storm. So that and even a little island off to the east of Puerto Rico, Vieques, that was almost like a mandatory evacuation. They were like, we're going to do our best to get everybody out. And we met a nice family from Australia who was evacuated then. So we'll be talking with Harriet Grady coming up around 9:35 this morning. Ed is over in Mount Pleasant. Ed, how are you this morning, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Yes, sir.
I just heard that about Hillary doing the alternate nostril, whatever the heck she was doing.
Right.
And if she really wants to relax, what she ought to do is close her mouth real tight. Tight. Grip both nostrils, pinch them tightly, and keep that position for 20 minutes.
There you go. I like it. I like that, Ed. That is a great boy. She will be she'll be loose as a goose then, wouldn't she?
There you go. Do us all a favor.
There you go. There you go, Ed. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, buddy. Thank you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. I like that she's going on all of these shows right now. I really do. It is tickling me to death because the more she gets out there and the more she keeps blaming everybody but herself, I think the more people are getting sick and doggone tired of her. In fact, she was on The View yesterday, and she blamed Bernie Sanders and his supporters for her loss. I mean, she's blamed everybody in this thing, and now she's even going after Bernie Sanders because she said that when she lost to Barack Obama, then, you know, she immediately endorsed Barack Obama and started supporting him. Not so much with the Bernie Sanders campaign and the Bernie Sanders people. Now, she also said this. This was interesting. She says that she does not forgive, she doesn't forgive people who didn't vote. Yeah, apparently there was this woman who took her daughter to one of the book signings, and good Lord, I mean, I just couldn't imagine that. You know, you being dragged there by your mother, and you're being hauled in front of a tribunal there with Hillary Clinton, and you were forced to admit that you didn't vote. And then Hillary said, you know, I can't forgive people that do that. That's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, who's Hillary to think that she is the one to offer absolution? And that's the word she used. She said, I'm not giving absolution to people who didn't vote. Well, that's what this woman thinks she is. She thinks she's, I mean, I thought the Pope gives absolution. But I guess in her eyes, that's exactly who she is. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. President Trump tweeted this morning that there is no deal yet on DACA, and he doubled down on the border wall. That came in a tweet just a few minutes ago. He says no deal was made when he sat down with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi yesterday to talk about the DACA program, and he said we have not reached a deal on anything right now. So now the Democrats are out there saying that, you know, he was making a deal with them. The president saying this morning, not so much.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
21 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to the phones right away and talk to Roger. He is over there in Mount Pleasant. How are you, Roger?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Charlie. I was listening to Hillary on the news broadcast there.
Mm-hmm.
That comment about the Electoral College is really the biggest threat to our nation compared to a lot of other things that are going on right now.
Right.
I mean, there will never be another conservative president if they do that.
Oh, no, no, not at all. And they know exactly what they're trying to do. If they do that, like you said, a Republican will never be president.
she's very, very cagey in her comments, and it's definitely part of an overall campaign to, you know, the Electoral College is based on something that prevents mob rule.
Right.
That's what it's before. It was designed. It was not archaic. She called it archaic. The, you know, we have a representative republic. We don't have a democracy.
Yeah.
And trying to change it to a democracy just means that you're going to let people vote with emotion at the last second. And really what the Electoral College was for was to put sort of level heads in at the last minute so that they could vote on behalf of a block of people.
Right.
So it was nothing to do with lack of technology or, you know, archaic thinking or poor planning by the founding fathers. They knew exactly what they
were. Oh, yeah. They were the most forward-thinking people, I think, in the, on the history of the planet when they devised our form of government. They knew exactly what they were doing.
When they did it, what was all going on at the same time was the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. And those folks had a democracy, right, when they all voted with the guillotine.
Right, I mean, exactly, yeah. See, they know that if we eliminate the Electoral College and only go with the popular vote, then basically every election is going to be decided by Los Angeles County.
Right, yep.
And that's it.
Or New York City.
Or, yeah, but both of those together. I mean, you're right, we'll never have a Republican president. I appreciate you calling in, Roger. Thank you very much. Wayne is out in Somerville. Wayne, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I was thinking about you. I was driving up from Augusta to Abbeville. I'm here at McCormick having breakfast. You know, that's your old stomping
ground. That's right. That's right.
I was going to give out some tips. I preloaded cable for Florida Power and Light before the hurricane, and I'll be busy the next couple of weeks. The first tip I want to give you, Georgia from about mile marker 50, which is Darren, Georgia, down to the state line. If you're down there after dark, they still have security at all the exits. So you
really?
Can get off and get gas.
Hmm.
During the day, you can get off and get services. The truck stops have fuel. The other big tip I want to give people, I learned it during Hugo, if you're driving at night, when they cut these trees off, they leave the rest of the trunk sticking up head high.
Yeah,
and a friend of mine had a window busted out because he swerved to the right.
Ooh.
The other thing is, I have a retirement home in Plant City, and there are a lot of 55 and above people without power and water.
Right.
And I spent about 2 hours yesterday helping some of my neighbors. You know, they're that old salty type. But, you know, the worst part, I guess, is the flooding and the in-ground lines. We'll be running cable down there every day for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, Florida's still got a long way to go in digging out from this thing. But, Wayne, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for all your hard work. Hey, I tell you what, I got something for you right now. I'm going to take caller number 7 at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. I got a gift certificate to one of Charleston's amazing restaurants in honor of Charleston Restaurant Week. Now, this is going on for the next couple of days, so this is a gift certificate for Charleston Restaurant Week. I will take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250, 843-556-1250. Caller number 7, going to get that great gift certificate for, I'll tell you what, this is such an awesome way for you to get out there, especially, like I said yesterday, you know, we've been under so much stress here in the Lowcountry after Tropical Storm Irma came through. It's a good way to just get out there and relax, let someone else, you know, do all the worrying for you, and a great way to do that. So let's go to caller number 7 right now and say good morning. Who is this?
Hey, it's Tim from Mount Pleasant.
Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Great, man.
Congratulations. You are caller number 7, pal.
Outstanding. I've been trying like crazy to call to get the River Dogs in the River Dogs booth with y'all.
Yeah.
Bryce and Fred, he wouldn't have.
Well, we got more of those coming up next season, I guarantee you that. But right now, you're going to be heading out to one of the restaurants for Restaurant Week. Congratulations, pal. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much for listening.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but it's kind of funny. Apparently down in Florida, there was a police department out there that posted a picture of some of their officers. They kind of took a selfie, and there were four of them, and they were all very, very good-looking police officers, good-looking guys there, young, strapping men, and the women went nuts. The women have just lost their minds over these guys, and they are actually volunteering to be arrested. So now it seems that this has kind of caught on. Now the Sarasota Police Department, they have released the pictures of themselves. And one lady posted, officers from left to right, McDreamy, McSteamy, McHunky, and last but not least, McSmokin. So the ladies are, they're falling all over themselves over this thing. Speaking of Florida, you know, we've been talking about looting and how looters are the, but basically, you know, you got your murderers, you got your child molesters, you got your kidnappers, and you got your looters. They're all kind of in that same group with me of being the true deplorables in this country. Oh, a couple of guys were busted for looting down in Florida. 46-year-old guy named Victor Appler and a 42-year-old guy named Blake Waller went looting in Jacksonville, Florida, in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. But they weren't just busting into stores and stealing sneakers or clothes or TVs. No, 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 no. These guys had bigger dreams than that. They stole a telephone pole, a metal telephone pole. So somebody called the cops when they saw these guys strapping a giant telephone pole on the top of their Kia SUV. I'm not making this up. It was this thing looks to be 20, let's say 1, 2, 3. It's about 4 times the length of the car itself. Okay. So they decided they were going to strap this giant telephone pole on top of their Kia SUV, and it looked ridiculous there. So probably cops really didn't need the tip. They would have probably seen it without that. But they were going to try to sell it for scrap metal, but the cops stopped them before they could get too far and arrested them for grand theft. I think maybe we're going to throw looting in on top of that, too. But these guys, and why are these guys always without shirts? That's what I want to know. These looters, why can't they put on some clothing when they get out there? But here's the thing. Here's what they did do. Now, this is kind of amazing. They did wrap a rag around the end of it so that you could see that they were hauling this 30-foot, 35-foot telephone pole. So they did have safety in mind. They did have safety in mind while they were out there doing their looting.
I'm amazed that a Kia SUV could handle this.
I know, yeah.
Let's hear it for Kia.
Way to go, Kia. Good job. They ought to probably make that one of their marketing points there. Good job, guys. A Kia SUV. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up, I don't know. Man, I'll tell you what. Sometimes you start looking at stories and you go, what in the heck is going on? How did this thing get so convoluted? Well, Charleston County has now offered to pay $33 million for the former Navy hospital property in North Charleston to settle a lawsuit. This was revealed in a court hearing yesterday. Now, this same property, reading out of the Post and Courier now, it's the same property that the city of North Charleston bought from the federal government 5 years ago for $2 million. All right, so this thing is kind of hard to follow here. The current owners of the property, who bought it from North Charleston for $5 million, so North Charleston bought it for $2 million. These people bought it for $5 million. So made a little profit there. Good. But wait, it gets worse. They were going to have a planned redevelopment. They want a better deal than the $33 million that the county has offered. Apparently, they say the county has reneged on their agreement to lease 3 floors of the hospital for 25 years. Now, Joe Quayle, one of the county councilmen there, he said this thing was a mess from the beginning, and he wasn't one of the people that voted on this plan to lease the property there from these folks. It's unbelievable. This thing gets so, and oh, by the way, the owners and the creditors include Utah lawyer Douglas Durbano, whose finance company loaned the hospital redevelopment group that he heads more than $5 million at 18% interest, and Donald Trump Jr., President Trump's eldest son, also invested in this project. So this thing's going to get pretty doggone convoluted really quick. It already has. I mean, we're looking at something ridiculous. So we're going to try to get Joe Quayle on. He was one of the guys that voted against this thing. So we're going to try to get him on this morning. We're talking with him right now. Also, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Brady Quirk Garvin about this whole mess. And we're going to be talking about this book tour that Hillary is on and why she thinks the Electoral College is not a good idea.
I said that in 2000. After what happened to the 2000 election with Al Gore. I was elected to the Senate that same year. And if you look at our recent history, we've had several candidates, nominees, who have won the popular vote and lost the Electoral College. What does that say? And it says that an anachronism that was designed for another time no longer works. If we've moved toward one person, one vote, that's how we select winners. So I think it needs to be eliminated. I'd like to see us move beyond it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because she knows that it would definitely benefit the Democrats if that were to happen.
Now, did Absolutely. You complain about it in 2004, 2008?
No. There's no reason to complain about the Electoral College. Now, there's only been five times in history that a president has won the Electoral College and lost the electoral vote. The popular vote.
Yeah.
Only five times in history. So I don't think five times in over 200 years, I don't think that's a problem.
The more I hear from Hillary Clinton, the more I think sore loser.
Oh, absolutely. I am so glad she's on this.
I blame it all on everybody else, but it wasn't me.
I am so glad she's on this book tour. I am so glad. Let's go to Randy out in Ladson. He wants to talk about this Navy hospital debacle. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Charlie. Good morning. I know one of the businesses that I'm involved with has plans from the city.
Mm-hmm.
To move their location to that Navy hospital. I know the county has spent over $1 million on remodeling in there.
Right.
And then they decided they didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I wish I could
spend $1 million and then say,
no big deal. You know what? I don't even want it.
And that's exactly what the city of Charleston done. So the company I work for is still in an old falling down building downtown instead of in the nice renovated Navy Hospital.
But it's easy to do, Randy, when it's not your money, right?
You betcha.
It's so easy to do. Man, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to try to weed through this thing this morning, figure out exactly what's going on with that Naval Hospital. Jim is in Mount Pleasant. How are you, buddy?
Good, I'm doing well. How are you today?
Good. What's up, man?
I just wanted to comment on Hillary's comment on the Electoral College.
Yeah.
She's pretty dopey. She, without the Electoral College, she would not have been a senator and wouldn't have had that stepping stone to become president. Without the Electoral College, we don't need the Senate. We would be a parliamentary system.
Exactly.
You know, the House of Representatives represents the mass of people. Like, these people need a education in civics. Something. I don't know.
Here's what they're counting on, Jim. They're counting on the average person out there having no idea how we elect a president of the United States.
Right. And they're also asking for armed insurrection, quite frankly, because if the people in the middle of the country or flyover country, if they keep voting a certain way and it keeps getting overturned, that's not good.
No, it's not.
That's what the founding fathers had her exact person in mind when they thought of that.
Exactly, like, right. They were so forward thinking.
They really were. And I hate to think that if these people today were around hundreds of years ago, Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton getting together to try to form a government would be a disaster. We would never exist.
Thank You're God right.
The founding fathers were around 100 years ago or a couple hundred years ago all at the same time as opposed to these morons.
I agree, Jim. I completely agree with you. Thanks for calling in. But here's the thing. I mean, these people, warts and all, our founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing, And then they were able to look into the future with whatever, I don't know, divine gift that they were given from their creator. They were able to look into the future and say, look at this potential problem that we could have. Because they weren't looking at our country in 1776. They were looking forward in our country to 2017 and beyond. And that's what I think we've lost a lot of foresight in our government these days.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
We, as well as others, continue to dig out and dry up after Irma blew through. How do you think McMaster did handling this situation? Let's talk with Brady Quirk Garvin. He's the chairman of the Charleston County Democrat Party. Good morning, Brady. How are you?
I'm doing great, Charlie. How are you this morning?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, buddy. So you weathered the storm all right? Everything was good?
We did, you know, feeling very lucky and blessed. Just a couple limbs down in the yard, but nothing on the house and no flooding for us. So considering ourselves lucky, given what others in Charleston went through.
Oh, absolutely. How do you think Governor McMaster handled this situation?
You know, I think it's always easier to look at things after the fact, but
sure.
I think he did relatively okay. I think, you know, he was probably overly cautious, but in a situation with a massive hurricane coming and not being able to necessarily predict where it goes, I think being overly cautious is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, I understand why he didn't call for an evacuation here, and seems like that worked out okay. My only thing is I think he could have been a little more direct during some of the press conferences, but that's just a relatively minor thing.
Yeah, we were seeing when I was in Puerto Rico, we were watching the Weather Channel, and they were talking about over-evacuating Florida. And I was thinking, well, I don't know. You know, and it's one of those lines you got to cross. You know, the mayor of Houston, he didn't call for a mandatory evacuation. Everybody was second-guessing him, but, I kind of agreed with him on that thing. He, you know, you get millions of people out on the road, you've got a real good chance of somebody getting injured or losing their life, especially when we saw some of those roads that were completely covered over. So I think McMaster did a pretty good job with this thing. All right, let's talk about this naval hospital. What in the heck is going on with this thing, Brady?
You know, I was reading about this the other day, and forgetting partisan politics for a moment even, this is the kind of stuff that I think drives people crazy and makes them say, this is what's wrong with the system. So it looks like the city of North Charleston bought this property for something like $2 million.
Right.
To the county, fine, great. And then all of a sudden, now the county has sold it off, and we're on the hook to pay some developer from Utah and Donald Trump Jr. $33 million for a property that nobody wants. And it just seems like one of those deals where this is some sort of backroom bailout for really well-connected developers. And it's painful, particularly at this time when, you know, as we just were talking about, that $33 million could go a long way towards some drainage project,
right,
or fixing roads or almost anything else. And instead, it's going to go sit in the pocket of a developer. And that's just, it just seems like everything that's wrong with the system in general. It's kind of painful, particularly for an area in North Charleston that, to be honest, needs some redevelopment money. You know, they need some money coming into that area,
right,
people working there. And now it's going to sit empty after we've shelled out $33 million.
That to me, I mean, I agree with you. I think that's ridiculous. But like I was talking to a caller earlier, it's easy to do when it's not your money.
Well, it's easy to do when it's not your money. And also, I think sometimes it's hard to remember, you know, you are dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars for the county of Charleston. But, you know, that's a lot of money. It's about $85 for every taxpayer in Charleston County. It's just going to this, you know? So when you look at your tax bill next year, just remember that that's roughly $85 that's going to an out-of-state developer and Donald Trump Jr. And that's really painful to me.
Well, developers absolutely have their place in society, but I just think this was this is just a debacle from the get-go. I don't understand some of the backroom dealings that were done with that. Yeah. We're trying to get Joe Coyle on.
My point, I agree, developers absolutely have a place, but part of it is, you know, if I go start a business and open up a corner store and it goes belly up, I don't get a bailout from the county.
Right.
So why should this developer get a bailout? That's my issue.
Well, we saw that. I mean, my gosh, during 2008, we saw the same thing with the banks and the auto industry, and it's like these folks get the bailout, but we always get stuck with the price tag on this thing. All right, Hillary's book tour. Are you impressed with what she's been doing recently, or are you kind of on, you know, some people saying, listen, she needs to kind of back off because she's not doing the Democrat Party any favors right now?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, just like anyone else, I think she obviously has her right to speak up and write, you know, sort of what happened. I'm sure that there's part of it that's, you know, therapeutic, and I understand that. And obviously, as a party, we want to do a detailed look and have done one at sort of what occurred from the last election. But I think in terms of where the party is going, I am much more interested in looking forward to 2018 and some of the congressional candidates we have in 2020. I think, you know, that it's important to do a download and sort of make sure we understand what happened, but I'm much more interested in looking forward to what we can do in 18 and 20, and I think that's where the bulk of the party is as well.
Well, I mean, they would have to be. I mean, because going back and just rehashing this over and over again doesn't do anybody any good. All right, have you started alternate nostril breathing?
I don't even know what that is.
That's a relaxation technique that Hillary Clinton said that she started doing after the loss. It's a meditative process.
No, I took more of the Charleston approach and you know, had a few drinks at a bar downtown and sort of processed through it. But I think, you know, I'll pass on that one.
Alternate bourbon is a very good thing. All right, Brady, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Brady Quirk Garvin, the chairman of the Charleston County Democrat Party.
1250 WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
$33 million. That's what you're going to have to be paying out to for the former Navy hospital property there in North Charleston. Joining us this morning, we've got Councilman Joe Quayle on with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Charlie. Good morning to you.
Now, you were one of the folks that voted against this lease by North Charleston at the Naval Hospital. What is kind of walk us through the timeline of this thing?
Well, it's been now a number of years, and it's been kind of a tortured number of years. But you know, when it came to us and staff brought it to us, and it's being negotiated. In theory, it sounded like a pretty good idea to consolidate a bunch of different county services in one location and close to some needed areas. And but when we started looking, when I started, you know, drilling down to the numbers and the lease and the term of the lease and the money being spent, I didn't have a good feeling about it. And you know, I just saw that there was an opportunity for something small to go wrong that could really create havoc with the whole process.
Which, right.
You know, it wasn't one thing that's gone wrong, but you know, multiple things. And so, you know, at the end of the day, this is being negotiated by the lawyers. I'm not going to get into litigation issues. I'm not going to talk about the, I'm not going to talk about the court, but you know, it certainly is a big number. I think under this arrangement, we'll end up owning it. And owning all the land and all the parking. I mean, it is a huge piece of property.
Right. So, what, 24 acres?
Oh, it's gargantuan.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the government being in the land owning business necessarily. I don't want the county to have to upfit something like this, but I think that's where we're going to go with it. And then we're going to be a landlord. We're going to end up leasing parts of it out, which you know, I don't think that should be the mission statement of the government. But
right.
regardless, that may be the best option as we go forward, trying to get you know get this thing resolved.
How did the $33 million price tag? How was that assigned? What is that based on?
You know, I don't really know specifically, but and again, this is for the lawyers to discuss. But, you know, I'm sure it's got something to do with the full life payout of the lease, which is you know 25 years at X number of dollars a year. But again, you know, we're basically, you know, buying out the lease and then owning the real estate under this arrangement, which I'm not sure is actually going to be consummated or not.
So, right.
You know, I don't want to speculate on what the court's going to do or the lawyers, but, you know, again, when it first came up, I was the only guy, you know, if memory serves me well, to vote against it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a good feeling about it, and unfortunately, you know.
Do you remember how much the lease terms were for a year? I mean, they were renting out, what, 3 floors of this thing? And they were going to lease 3 floors of this thing. How much was the price tag on that per year? Do you remember?
No, I don't. I mean, obviously, that in and of itself was a big enough number to make me feel uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah.
because you look at it, you're like we're going to end up paying out X number of dollars over 25 years and still not own it. Well, I didn't want to own it in the first place.
Right.
But so. You know, maybe we're just kind of unwinding that process a little bit, but it's pretty painful, I must admit.
You were talking with Councilman Joe Qualey about the Naval Hospital and the $33 million that we're looking at paying out in this settlement with the lawyers now. Joe, it sounds like a good idea. You have that one, you know, a lot of government entities in one central location there in North Charleston. Where did this thing really start to fall apart?
You know, that's subject to debate and subject to the lawyers' kind of interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think much of it is you know, the timing and how quickly things were getting done or not done. And you know, we had contracted to sell our parcel down by the medical university to the medical university, and they've been waiting on that, and so we were under pressure there a little bit. But also, I guess if this goes through, we can take that money, which you know is a pretty sizable sum, somewhere between 15 and 17 million, as I recall.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I mean, this is the problem when the government, like you said, turns into landowners, isn't it?
Well, this may be one of the best examples, but still, we don't know what's to come because we would be taking the building, at least my understanding, is an as-is condition, and as-is condition for that building...
Is not good?
It's not good.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. How much... I mean, all right, so we pay out that $33 million, then we got to go in and renovate this thing. I mean, with the price tag on this thing is could end up being... a lot more than that $33 million.
Well, I would certainly expect so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and the other thing is that, you know, we got a great staff and great people at the county, but I don't think we've ever bitten into something quite so substantial as being, you know, as being a developer of a huge parcel like that. But
yeah. Is it, I mean, it's 24-acre piece of property with the building on it. I mean, that's going to be a lot to maintain. That's a lot of taxpayer dollars we're talking about here. Joe, I appreciate you calling in. We'll keep updated and we'll keep in contact with you about that and see how it goes. Thanks for calling in this morning. We appreciate it. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. James is out in Hanahan. We're going to try to... Let's go ahead and get to James real quick. What's up, James?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What's up, pal?
I want to talk to you about... I got a... email from CFID, who was supposed to be monitoring our credit information there in Texas. They mm-hmm. had an office here in Charleston. And it says CFID has found a match to your monitored information. And I tried to call them. Let me give you the phone number. You might want to write it down. Somebody's
all right.
Probably going to call you about it. It's 1-855-880-2743. Okay.
All right, I got about 30 seconds here, James. What's up?
And I tried to call them 3 different times. Just set the phone down, put it on speaker. Said let it sit there for about 30 minutes, and
yeah.
Nobody ever picked up. So I don't know if these people have gone out of business or what. So.
I don't know. We'll look into that, James. I appreciate you calling in. John, that happened with the tax breach
that
we had.
Yeah, what that refers to is the tax breach. You got some credit monitoring for a while.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Was it Experian?
For some reason, I keep thinking it was Experian.
Now, remember, they had that huge breach of a lot of people's Social Security numbers. And the bad thing about that, some of the big executives at Experian, they ditched their Experian stock right before they announced that to the public.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think some people ought to go to jail for something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:39. We'll make it 8:40 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Do not forget. Coming up, we've got the 4K a day on WTMA. Now, over the next couple of months, we've got $160,000 up for grabs. Your shot at $1,000 a day, $1,000 four times a day, rather, starts today. You could be winning some real money here. 4K a day on WTMA. All you got to do is listen, text, and win. You can get all the details at WTMA.com. Now, during the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to tell you the word to text and the number to text it to, and you will have your shot at $1,000. We'll be doing that four times a day. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Let's head out to North Charleston and talk to Jim. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Charlie.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Yes. I know this is a little late, but you know, Irma kind of upset everybody's timeline.
Right.
We just did the 16th anniversary of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And people like you and I, we remember.
Sure, we do.
Yes. Now, I have a DVD that my wife and I watched, got shortly after 9/11, mm-hmm. by CNN, and surprisingly, it's very well made.
Right.
Okay. And everybody then was talking about, you know, coming together, you know, and then, you know, we will never forget, but, you know, the left is forgetting and saying, why do they hate us? What did we do to cause it and all?
Right, yeah.
And there's more than these three, but three events I keep remembering. One is, remember the Alamo?
Right.
Remember Pearl Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
Remember 9/11. And we're forgetting all three to a large extent of how important these events are in our history. And this all ties in to, well, people ask, why did they attack us?
Right.
What, you know, people talk about blowback, pushback. They forget that this was initiated centuries ago by basic fundamentalist Islam. They
Right. Led
war on the infidel, and we had, you know, you remember the Marine Corps hymn, you know, Halt to Montezuma,
right? Yeah,
Tripoli,
exactly.
We had an envoy go over, well, to talk with the Muslim leaders when our merchant vessels, this is in the 1700s,
mm-hmm.
were being, you know, they were being captured, and who knows what happened to all the crew and all that.
Right. I mean, a lot of them were being enslaved.
They were, and they asked, why are you doing this? And the imam or the sultan or whoever it was they were talking to says, well, you're infidels. You know, if you're not Muslim, you deserve this.
Exactly.
And this is fundamentalist Islam is the problem, not radical. The radicals are those who are actually peaceful. The if a Christian or a Jew goes out on world conquest, they're violating their scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
If a Muslim does it, he's following his scriptures to the letter. And we, you know, as a Christian, I recognize everybody's right to worship as they will, but ultimately, we will all answer to the God of the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, people can believe whatever they want to believe. I just don't want anybody forcing me to believe what they believe.
Exactly, and
especially at the end of a sword.
That's exactly right, and you know, the Crusades was an armed response to an armed invasion. I mean, they invaded and conquered Spain for a while,
right?
Among other territories, and they were pushed back. it didn't do what the stated objective was to completely free the world of Islam, but it did push them back out of Europe, and they're trying to push their way back in.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the war is not over. I appreciate you calling in, Jim. And let me tell you a little something. Wouldn't you imagine, I mean, September 11th, 2001, really changed the face of the world. In fact, so much that Queen Elizabeth had her royal palace guards there in England. You know, every morning they get up and they play the dun 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 dun, dun the British anthem or whatever they play in the morning. She actually changed this tradition for a day and had her guard play the national anthem of the United States, a national anthem that a lot of people are now saying is racist. We'll give you that story coming up in just a second. But over in England right now, there are teachers that are afraid to teach about 9/11 because they don't want to be seen as being Islamophobic. That's right. Some of the teachers, particularly those who work in schools with a high proportion of Muslim students, see the content of this topic too controversial, and they will not even teach about it in England. They just completely forget about it because, hey, it might be offensive. Do you think, really, I mean, did we do this in this country after Pearl Harbor? Did we stop because you might have a Japanese-American student in your classroom? Have we done that? Oh, well, pretty sure they'll get to that. Yeah, coming up next, we'll tell you how or why some folks are saying the national anthem is a racist song.
1250 WTMA.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's about 10 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And we got something to give away this morning. Right now, I got a pair of tickets to see UB40 at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center coming up on the 19th. That's 5 days from today. Caller number 7 right now at 556-1250 will win two tickets to see UB40. Red, red wine. Yeah, that's why I'm not a rock star right there. Caller number 7 right now picks up these tickets to see UB40 at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center. 556-1250 is the number. That's 843-556-1250. You'll be the big old winner this morning. Also, don't forget your shot at $1,000 coming up here in just a little bit. We'll give you more details on that right around the corner. But right now, taking your calls to win those tickets to see UB40 in concert at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center coming up on the 19th. All right, let's see what else we got going on here this morning. Jefferson Morley, he is from a website called Alternate DC. He is a self-proclaimed Colin Kaepernick fan. He thinks the Star-Spangled Banner has racist beginnings. You know, if you hate this country, then you are obviously offended by anything that has to do with it, right? It doesn't matter. You'll probably be offended by the colors red, white, and blue. We'll tell you about him coming up in just a second. But right now, let's go to the phones and say good morning. Who is this?
Hey, this is Lynn.
Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Congratulations, Lynn. You just picked yourself up two tickets to see UB40 in concert. How about that?
That's great. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. We appreciate you listening, and John Quincy is going to get some information from you. Also coming up, we have got tickets to the Southern Women's Show. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll give you details on that. But let's get back to this story about this guy that says the Star-Spangled Banner is racist. Yeah, that's what he says. He says that because some people who were, I won't say loyal to the Confederacy, I guess, some Confederates, they liked the song, then therefore the song is racist. You see, I really think that pretty soon we'll be seeing the colors red, white, and blue as being racist. Already our flag is considered racist. And out at one of the baseball games here last night, I think it was last night or the night before, somebody hung a banner over the outfield wall that said, America, it said, racism is as American as baseball. That's what they they said, though. So that was their big sign that they had. But you know what? I am beyond getting upset over these people doing stuff like this. I want them to continue doing this. I want Antifa to continue without, you know, I don't want anybody's property to be destroyed or anybody to be hurt, but I wanted them to continue showing their rear ends, because we are, step by step, we're getting sick of these people. We're getting sick of these people who take every advantage of this country and all of the benefits that it has, all the while sitting back and criticizing everything about it. Colin Kaepernick refuses to stand for the national anthem, or refused. He doesn't do it anymore. I wonder if he does it now. He didn't stand for the national anthem while he was in the NFL, because he was protesting. This was his big protest. Colin Kaepernick, if you wanted to protest something, why didn't you protest by not taking your salary, your multi-million-dollar salary? Why didn't you do that? That'd be a great way to protest. Well, that would really show the world that you really had a little skin in the game, if you will. And you could actually get up there and maybe people would believe you. By the way, Colin Kaepernick, adopted by white parents. Wonder how they feel about this guy. And all of this is coming from his radical Islamic girlfriend. That's all it is to it. This guy has really had his head turned by this lady. So, all of these people that are hanging banners. yeah, protesters. They were at Boston's Fenway Park last night. They unfurled a banner saying, "Racism is as American as baseball." There you go. And of course, they were out there at the Green Monster. So there were two women and one man, all white, seen holding up a black banner in the middle of the fourth inning there at the Red Sox game when they played the Oakland A's. The Boston Globe reported that the crowd booed the banner until it and the protesters were removed by security. The game was not delayed. In a statement, the Red Sox said that the four people were ejected from the park and that the banner was in violation of the club's policy prohibiting signs of any kind to be hung or affixed to the ballpark. The club's statement did not mention the message on the banner. So, there you go. That's a perfect way to do it. Perfect way to do it. Just call all Americans racist. Even though this country affords more opportunity to more people than any other country on the face of the planet. We are still racist. Even though the Star Spangled Banner mentions nothing about race, even though, you know, but still they want to say everything's racist. Their narrative. They're trying to continue their narrative, and it's not working. It's got to be frustrating for those folks. It's got to be frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for Hillary. Now, she said that she does not forgive people who regret not voting.
What's more common are people bursting into tears, welling up.
Really? Have you seen any video of this? Of these book tours that she's doing? You seen anybody bursting into tears? No, not at all.
I had a lot of that at my book signing.
Do you give absolution to those who didn't vote, to women who didn't vote?
No, I don't. When it first started happening, it was so soon after the election, and the election was so bizarre and close. It was hard for me to, you know, comfort somebody who was coming to me and saying, "Oh, I wish I'd done more," or "I'm sorry I didn't vote," because I think this was one of the most consequential elections that, you know, we have faced in a long time. So, no absolution, but of course, I just hope people will take what happened this time seriously and be ready and willing to vote the next time.
Isn't this the woman that wants to be a preacher? Didn't she say she wanted to be a preacher? Yeah, that's exactly what her pastor said, that Hillary has expressed a desire to begin preaching. Well, I thought the whole thing behind that was forgiveness, right? Aren't you supposed to forgive people? Isn't that like, you know, the number one thing you're supposed to do? So, Hillary saying that she did no absolution. And who is she to give absolution? Who is she to give absolution to anybody? You should be asking for absolution from the American people for your email. Oh, and by the way, September 11th, also the anniversary of Benghazi. Coming up Monday, we're going to talk to a guy who was there in Benghazi when all of it went down. I can't wait. That's going to be a fascinating interview. It really, really is. So Hillary not giving absolution, but she wants you to forgive her for all of, you know, for the emails. That's the only thing she says she did wrong. Only thing at all she said she did wrong was using that personal email server. Well, okay, Hillary, there you go. Enjoy your preaching career. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up, we're going to be talking about this rap video that shows the lynching of a white child. Yes, yes, yes. I know you are furrowing your brow at that, and you're saying, Charlie, what the heck are you talking about? Yes, it is a video that shows the lynching of a white child, an actual child. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And what parent would agree to that? That's what gets me. All right, you want to line your pockets with $1,000 right now? Here's what you need to do. You need to text the word WIN to 62582. Text the word WIN to 62582 for your shot at $1,000. We'll text you back to confirm your entry.